We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah. The team, I just checked in. They're still awaiting final results on it. And if it is a season ender, we'll find out right away. The news will come out. The way it sounded last night and the way everything was looking, it is a season ender. So it's just such a devastating blow to that franchise. You know, we could go, everybody's got their Jimmy G bobblehead dolls from the home opener. Playoffs are in sight, figuring the Niners are going to kind of get better as the season goes along. And then all of a sudden, you know, Matt, as yesterday's game's going on, a lot of guys were getting hurt. And I'm just going, look, they're down. They're going to get killed in this game, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seemed about every 10, 15 minutes, there was another guy. I was writing a story during the game, just kind of, because Breed had left with a knee injury,
yeah.
Came back. But then, you know, Sherman leaves, a couple other guys get hurt, and even Reuben Foster did his traditional go out for a play because he gets hurt. And I'm like, well, look, if they can just get out of here with a loss, no matter what the score is, and Jimmy Garoppolo healthy, things are going to be fine. And then he goes tearing around the left sideline, and he takes that hit. And I think, from my point of view, I thought immediately it's a concussion.
That's what I thought, too, yep.
And I asked Kyle Shanahan that after a press conference yesterday, and he thought it was concussion. So did Staley. And then when you look at the slow-mo video, then you can kind of see how his foot planted awkwardly and the knee bent awkwardly. And I kind of wanted to, because Shanahan didn't know it was a knee until somebody told him in his headset as the game's going on. So, it was just, it's one of those things. It was not from the hit. The knee gave out right before he made contact with this cornerback that came in. Leading with his helmet, mind you, and we've been talking about that rule.
Right.
That flew under the radar, but that's definitely unrelated to what the knee was. But it was such a sad scene at Arrowhead, like after the game. It's one of the worst stadiums in terms of visitor locker room. It's a very small hallway outside the visitor locker room, and the Garoppolo family was huddled up kind of underneath a stairwell right there in that hallway outside the locker room waiting for Jimmy. Any sign. I mean, it's kind of, you felt really sorry for him because
right.
They wanted to counsel their son, and they were out there waiting for a long time. And, you know, players from both teams are kind of getting through the small hallway. It's chaos, as it usually is, but this is, then you have players walking out, like Richard Sherman walking out in a boot. There were some staff members crying, and Marquise Goodwin was consoling them. It was such a sad scene. It was, if you knew that the Niners were going to lose by 38-27 or whatever the score was, you'd say, okay, I could probably see that coming. But to lose your franchise quarterback three games into the season, it's devastating.
Yeah, well said, Cam. I definitely agree with you. I was looking at the defense. I'm no D coordinator, but the first half, they give up 5 touchdowns to Mahomes. But the second half, it seemed like they were making Mahomes step up in the pocket, and he was a bit uncomfortable doing that. What adjustment did the Niner defense make to give him a chance to come back?
I think Kyle Shanahan put it in good terms afterwards, saying probably the best defense was having a good offense because the 49ers offense was able to stay on the field a little longer. And you know what? Maybe the Niners defense, they stopped missing tackles the way they were missing them in the first half. The Pro Football Focus came out with their whatever weekly grades, and they said the Niners missed 17 tackles yesterday, and they lead the NFL with 43 missed tackles. And I, you know, throughout that first half, it was just abysmal. Every facet of that defense, from the pass rush couldn't get to Mahomes, the linebackers got caught looking at the wrong plays because there's so much misdirection, and Andy Reid so creative offensively that had them just chasing their tails. And then the defensive back, injured or not, they couldn't keep up with the Chiefs receivers and defend them correctly. And, you know, we're getting word now that Richard Sherman's probably going to miss a few weeks with this calf and heel issue that's probably dating back a few years, and he had a bone spur removed from it. It's not the Achilles leg, it's the left leg. And so they're going to have to go with Jimmy Ward and Kelly Witherspoon unless they want to try somebody else like Tavarius Moore, who hasn't really seen any defensive reps there yet.
Cam Inman joining us of the Bay Area News Group. He was in Kansas City yesterday for the 49ers 38-27 loss. Matt Ryan, who played under Kyle Shanahan, said it takes about 2 years to learn his offense inside and out. I guess my question would be, does C.J. Beathard know the offense better than Garoppolo, or are they both basically all caught up and know it all by now?
Well, two parts to it. I would say, one, C.J. obviously had about a six-month head start from Jimmy in it because he was in it from the time he got drafted. And he had game experience in it, getting five starts, playing six games in it last year. But Garoppolo also just understands NFL stuff because he was under Brady for 3.5 years. So you can't discount that. I will say that CJ understands the offense a lot better than he did a year ago at this time. And he said that. We talked to him, gosh, a lot during training camp. He's a very nice kid, and he's very confident in himself. And he never sold himself short. And he said that he's very comfortable in this offense now. And I think the Niners, player after player yesterday, you try to do the next man up stuff after an injury like that. And so you kind of want to read, like, how much are they really confident in that next man up? But obviously, CJ is not Jimmy G. But they all were expressed confidence in how tough he is. And so he's got that going for him, and now he's going to have to make plays. The thing with Garoppolo is, and we saw it in December, he seemed to elevate everybody on that team. Everybody seemed to play better when Jimmy was on the field. They may not be the most talented team, but they all maximize their talent in that December run. We hadn't seen that through 3 weeks. And now it's going to be up to C.J. Beathard to try to raise the ship because there's a lot of issues all throughout that team where they don't look playoff ready at all. And now they've lost their starting running back. They've lost their starting quarterback. Their star cornerback, Richard Sherman's going to be out a few weeks. So it's not looking great right now, fellas.
Cam, when you talk about Marquise Goodwin, the story's incredible. I love the guy, but I was a bit shocked. He got in the end zone. The game, you know, obviously they're losing, they're down. He did a celebration, and I'm sitting on my couch like, man, that could have been a bit extravagant when you're losing. Did you see that, and did that shock you, or no big deal?
I didn't see it, but I'm with you. I'm in that camp where I don't like to see guys celebrate when they're losing a big game, you know, losing by a lot. At the same time, it's his, you know, he's coming off a serious injury. He's been working real hard to get going. And maybe it gave him some juice because they were coming back in that game. That's one thing about Garoppolo and the offense. You know, they were still in that game. And up until the refs took away that George Kittle touchdown. And, yeah, so, you know, we did talk to Goodwin after the game. And he was asking us how we thought he looked. And, you know, we said, look, well, we want to know how you felt. Did you feel that you were 100%? And he just wanted praise that he was back on the field. So it was a little bit of an odd situation considering all the circumstances after the game.
Cam, thank you so much for joining us. As always, appreciate it. And look forward to talking to you next Monday.
All right. Sounds good, Matt. See you guys.
All right, Cam Inman of the Bay Area News Group. Yeah, it was funny because I was watching the game with Dibley and a bunch of friends. And Goodwin scores to make it 35-16. He does that celebration, and all of us there are thinking, what's he doing? You're still down 20 points. This is ridiculous. This is right. How can you do? I mean, we were just ripping him, and then the 49ers get a hold, and then they start driving again. And, of course, my boy Dan is saying, not Dibley, another Dan is saying, see, Goodwin celebration's got him going. It was Goodwin celebration that
good
got
juju.
The 49ers going. So, I let it go a little bit after that, but it did stick out a little bit.
I'm sure an older coach like Parcells would have had a problem with it than a young hipster like Shanahan, who, again, is a big Lil Wayne fan.
Lil Wayne.
Carter 5 coming soon.
Who are they?
It's his last name. He's got a series of albums, and they're titled Carter 1, 2, 3.
Who's he?
Lil Wayne.
Okay, he's got a series of albums coming out.
Yeah. Called the Carter. So he's got the Carter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And Shanahan named his kid after Carter, after Lil Wayne's that trilogy of albums. So the new one's about to come out. But I'm just thinking, since he's hip, he probably liked the celebration.
Because you like Lil Wayne, you're hip?
Well, you know, more than I'm sure Parcells was like, little who? Yeah. You know, he probably would have took offense to that celebration down 19. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
So he's made albums and he just calls him Carter 1, Carter 2. Yeah, right. And who's Carter?
That's his last name. Lil Wayne.
So it's Lil Wayne Carter.
Yeah.
Thanks for keeping me up to date.
No, no, that's what
I appreciate it. Yeah. We got Guru's Gripes coming up at
11:45. I got one,
do we have one? We have them? We got the Gripes?
I got one.
Okay. Right. We got Gripes. Yeah. And also want to, I want to hear anybody, was anybody out there at the big, what'd you do this weekend? Did you go to the big concert?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I emceed the Madden tournament over at Halftime Sports Bar.
You didn't go to the concert at AT&T?
What concert?
Oh, I'll tell you all about it.
Now, back to Steinmetz and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Steinmetz and Guru with you on a Monday after a, I guess I'm just going to call it a brutal weekend for the Raiders and for the 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo likely tears his ACL on a play where he wanted to turn it up a little bit. Rather than running out of bounds, he wanted to squeeze out a couple yards, and it ended up costing him. Here's Justin Houston of the Kansas City Chiefs talking about the play where Jimmy Garoppolo was hurt.
Justin, what did you see on the play that Garoppolo got hurt?
I saw that I missed the sack, and then that opportunity shouldn't even came up. So if I would have got my sack, he wouldn't even rolled out the pocket. I had him in my hand, so I make the play. It's dead. We off the field.
And then were you chasing it down from behind?
No, I saw it, but that was, I think that was his fault. I pray he's not hurt, nothing serious. But as a quarterback, you should step out of bounds. It's only an inch. That inch wouldn't have made a difference. You got the yards you need. You step out of bounds. You got to be smart and think about your team.
I mean, there it is.
Spot on.
See, football's, to me, an enigma when it comes to this kind of thing. Is everybody respects toughness and physicality, but there's a defensive player talking about a quarterback saying he's got to get out of bounds. He's got to think of his teammates. And that's the kind of thing. You don't think of a play like that as a selfish one that Jimmy G made. It's kind of the last thing you think of, but it's just incredible the way if you're a football player and you play a non-quarterback position, it is pretty amazing how everybody does realize the quarterback's the most important. And nobody begrudges, I guess, a quarterback who runs out of bounds.
Not at all. And it's, you live another play. And that's what Houston was saying. Not just yourself, Jimmy G. You got a whole organization, you know, waiting on you. You are the savior. And I just hate, Steiny, and it means nothing at the end of the day, but I hate that it was third and goal. You were nowhere near the end zone. But like you talked about the pedigree, he's in essence a young quarterback trying to get a yard that didn't mean a damn thing.
No, it didn't. And I guess if we have to be truthful, when we think of Jimmy Garoppolo, we think more of a smart quarterback than a young quarterback. But that wasn't a very smart play. And it was funny because I heard a lot of the morning show, and they're all talking about, well, should he have, shouldn't have? I mean, he shouldn't have done it. I mean, no. The bottom line is he got hurt because he planted his left foot, and it kind of went haywire from there. Why was he planting his left foot? Because he was not going right out of bounds. If he would have continued just to run out of bounds, he never would have had to plant his foot. So here's the other thing that I think plays into this too. And this rule where you can't hit the quarterback if you know they're running out of bounds, all that kind of stuff. Anything close by the sideline is going to get flagged. But, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo and a lot of quarterbacks have started, and tell me if you guys notice this out there, they'll run in diagonal like they're going to run out of bounds. But they know that the defensive player has to kind of hold up a little bit. So then they start tiptoeing up the sideline.
I've seen it. I've seen
it. To try
it.
To get extra yards. And so the next thing you know, the defensive player has to hit him, has to push him out of bounds. And it's like, that's not the way the rule was supposed to go. The rule's supposed to go, if you're running out of bounds, you can't hit it.
Aaron Rodgers is good at that. He'll act like he's going over there.
Exactly.
And he'll get you about through. Like, oh, man,
exactly.
Look at it.
I think that stinks. I don't think you should be allowed to do that. kind of pretend like you're going out of bounds and cut up field, twinkle toe up the sideline. You should, if you're going to do that, to me, you can get knocked out if you're a quarterback.
No, you're
then
right.
You're fair game.
If you're trying to
squeeze some more games.
It looked like his shoulder. Aww. He got popped, Steiny.
Yeah,
the sound was like, that's a concussion or a shoulder. But for it to end up being as, I was just like, this is not right. And let me tell you why I'm sad for the Niners as an organization. There's nothing that's going to transpire with Beathard or whoever comes in here that will answer the million-dollar question, which you've already invested. Is Jimmy Garoppolo a franchise quarterback? And to hit pause on that is almost like you lost a year, Steiny, because coming into next year, that's still, you got the investment. He's your guy. But now it's like, is he the quarterback? Is he the franchise quarterback? And is he over the injury? Man, sports can be, I told you this before, so unfair. And in this instance, my friend, is very unfair. Three games in. Just paid them. You put your neck on the line for them. And now the Niner faithful got 12 quarters of them, and that's it. Sad, man. I feel robbed.
It's sad, but I know, it's his fault. It's Jimmy Garoppolo's fault.
I got you.
Nobody can
tell me different. You're right.
And from the 510 or 408, if Jimmy G goes out of bounds on that play, who's to say Justin Houston isn't calling him soft or weak? No, he's a
quarterback, so there's no reason to even, you don't got to stick your chest out as a QB. Comes with the territory.
Did you see the Clay Matthews hit on, who was it again?
Alex Smith, your guy.
Right, Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Alex Smith.
It's getting out of control, Steiny.
What is?
What's going on and how these defenders are flagged and how the team that gets the flag can parlay that into another drive, play, win. You talk about the extinction of football. It's coming if this keeps up.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You got to stop. There was a play in the Seattle game, too, where Crawford and Russell Wilson.
Yeah, well, they're trying. You can't. The league will go extinct if you continue to let Clay Matthews hit quarterbacks like
this. What do you mean? He's not jumping off a mattress onto the quarterback. He's tackling him.
Let's listen to what he had to say afterwards. He got flagged for roughing the passer on sports.
If I wanted to hurt him, I could have. I could have put some extra on him, but that's football. Unfortunately, this league's going in a direction that I think a lot of people don't like. I think they're getting soft. And, the only thing hard about this league is the fines that they levy down on guys like me who play the game hard.
All right.
Wow.
Here's my feeling on that play. And if you saw it, feel free to chime in. The rule is what, Guru? You cannot drive a guy into the ground.
That is the rule.
Yeah.
But it's unrealistic.
Well, the rule was enforced the way it is intended to be enforced. The way the rule set up, that was a good call against Clay Matthews. Don't get mad at the ref. Get mad at the rule. Because the rule was enforced like it should be. He drove the quarterback into the ground with his weight.
And what else can you do, Steiny? I guess that's what I'm asking.
I don't know.
Because you did say it's wrong, but that's how it's written. So they were right in throwing the flag.
The flag was right. He drove Alex Smith into the ground.
But that's his job. I don't know how. And then we had the guy from Miami tear his ACL trying not to get the flag on Derek Carr yesterday. He's out for the year. This is bad. It needs to be reviewed ASAP. And Steiny, the worst part, it's unrealistic. Two grown men, I'm trying to take you to the ground. How am I? I just don't see how.
I don't. Again, they have the rule. You got to enforce the rule.
Yeah,
you
got
to change the rule if you feel you got to change the rule. But Clay Matthews isn't wrong about the league going soft. But under the rules that apply in the NFL right now, unfortunately, that is a penalty. And I agree with you. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, but Matthews' hit was as clean as you can get. These game-changing calls are the biggest reason I won't pay money on an NFL game. Now, then, Steiny, Clay Matthews' call was terrible. The call is terrible. Actually, no. The call is not terrible. The rule is terrible. The rule is terrible.
I think. It's a new rule. That's why it's terrible. The Packers got robbed 2 weeks in a row. They should have beat the Vikings, and they call Clay Matthews for the same thing. This, like the catch rule, Steinie will get. I think they'll fix it in the off season. But how many opportunities are we going to get to where we see teams that deserve to win basically a good play flagged because of ridiculous rule?
Well,
that's what hurts me. The Packer defense won that play, but yet you don't like the way the quarterback was landed upon. That's ridiculous. That's not football.
The 925 says, come on, Steinie. He didn't drive him into the ground. That was as ticky-tack as the BS call on Kyle in the end zone for offensive
one. That was a bad one. We didn't even mention that.
You know, the funny thing is you don't even have to drive him into the ground. That's the other thing.
But
you can't land on him either, really.
It's physics, though, Steinie.
Again, I hear you.
And Hayes from the Dolphins, we saw it earlier. He tried to avoid that, and now he's out the year. So he got hurt trying to abide by the rule.
Let's go to Chris. Chris is in Hayward. What's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
I enjoy you guys' show.
Thank you.
But I did want to call in real quick and just make a quick comment about Jimmy G. I was listening to you guys. I totally disagree with you guys saying that it's his fault. You know, I can understand if he got hit and got hurt as a season-ending injury by getting hit. But he got hurt before he got hit.
He did.
Even though he may try
True.
To... Yeah.
But,
I mean, I think it's unfair because even if he went straight out of bounds, that same situation could still happen with his torn, you know.
I don't know. See, that's the part I don't know.
Left, he would have. It would have been over. He'd have been out of bounds.
Like, to me, the reason he was in an awkward spot was because he was trying to kind of make a right turn by pivoting on his left. I know we're talking about a split second thing, Chris, and I appreciate the call.
I'm sick.
You're right. He did get the injury occurred before the hit. You're right, but to me, the injury occurred because he tried to eke out another couple yards, even though when he planted that foot, he was out of bounds. Let's go to Winemaker in Napa. I haven't heard from Winemaker today. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. Just a little truck time today, sampling vineyards, so I thought I'd call in.
Nice.
Time for me. Here's the deal about the Raiders. The guy that called in a few calls back about the Raiders, you know, all due respect to him, but any real Raider fan that went into this season thinking that we were going to be the 85 Bears on defense, especially when we got rid of our best player. Actually, the defense has played well for three quarters of the game with a bunch of young, unproven guys. Jelly Ellis is on IR. That's a huge blow to the run defense. He's a good run player. P.J. Hall's out with an ankle right now, so we haven't really seen him. Connolly, this is his rookie season, let's face it, and I think he's played okay, but he's going to get beat occasionally. He's a corner, and he's in his first year. He's got to get up to speed. The defense is doing as good as they can do. The problem that I have is, Guru, you're spot on today with the way I'm thinking, too, is that the play calling, why are you taking a shot to, again, a receiver who hasn't in – what has Martavius Bryant done over 3 weeks for the Raiders? I mean, why is he getting that ball? Shouldn't that go to Jordy Nelson if you are going to take a shot, or some guy that's got
hands
on the wall? And the fact is that what are you doing taking a shot when all I envisioned was that Marshawn Lynch and Doug Martin were starting to rip off 4, 5, and 6 yards per carry, and you could see Miami's defense did not want any part of Marshawn Lynch. And the fact is that I envisioned with about 40 seconds left, Marshawn Lynch stepping on somebody going into the end zone. Miami's got no timeouts left, ball game. And instead, you let him off the hook. And then quickly on Amari Cooper is who he is. He's a supremely talented athlete. But he was with a loaded squad at Alabama where he didn't have to be demonstrative. And you named me a number one receiver throughout history and throughout we've seen that didn't demand the football. It's not in him. He's a great guy when things are going well. He can give you 11 catches for 200-plus yards. But he does not demand the football. It ain't going to happen. So it is what it is this year. Hopefully we can get a few wins, but they better start stacking picks. This thing's a long way away.
Thanks, Winemaker. Appreciate the call, as always. I don't understand why people are coming down my road on the I'm defending the officials.
No, you're just defending the rule.
The rule is the rule. It's a bad rule. It has nothing to do with a call, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with you.
It's affecting these games.
Yes, it is. Well, let me tell you something. It's
tragic, man.
Okay,
it just
is. To me, all right, Matthews gets flagged. Is the rule bad? Of course it's bad. You can't legislate violence in a way. That's why I think this whole thing is a joke where you're trying to safety up the game. I mean, it's too hard. Let me tell you what bothers it for me, and it's bigger than just the bad rule or what people think is a bad call on Clay Matthews. The flags in general. It's a joke. This is so funny. We're watching this game yesterday. Tell me if you do the same thing. There'll be a play. I can't remember specifically what it was, but let's say Kansas City throws it into the end zone. Touchdown. Oh, it's close. Is he in or is he not? At that point, you may as well change the channel for 8 minutes.
I've adapted. That's what I do.
Because you see a quick replay, you're looking, you're like, well, that's a touchdown.
Yeah, not yet.
But it's still going to take them 4 minutes.
Amazing.
Then they're going to kick the extra point. Then they're going to take a commercial. Then they're going to have the kickoff and then maybe another commercial. It's incredible the way
I've adapted.
Scotty. Kansas City would score. And as soon as they would score, it'd be like, hold up the challenge.
Okay. Let me see what the Giants are doing.
We got 6 minutes to watch Tiger.
It's amazing.
To go flip over to the Raiders. It's that's to me what's ruining football.
Yeah. Somebody on the text line said, you almost got to be a lawyer to watch the game now. And we talked about the helmet issue. We thought that was an epidemic that the NFL was going to, you know, was going to get ugly. But now it's this rule, and they can fix it so easy, Steiny. They can fix it. The Packers lost a game that they won on a BS call. And if I can see it and you can see it and John Curley and Alex, the world can see it, what are you really doing outside of ruining your sport? Because that's what's happening.
Well, I just think it's incompatible. You want to make the game more safe so that more kids will play it and the sport won't just go away. But in the process of making the game more safe, it's not really football like we all like football.
I mean, make that rule. Oh, you can't land on the receiver like that. You can't land on anybody like that. Why is it just a quarterback?
510 says, dude, y'all way off trying to act like Jimmy G got hurt on non-contact. Y'all blind? He got rocked. It jarred his ish.
Yeah. We say
510. Take one more look at that play.
After he puts
now,
the,
don't
the
get me wrong. He got jarred his ish. You're right. Yeah, he got jarred his ish. But the knee was already a problem. 925 wants us to read the rule. There's room for subjection. There is wording for deciding if the defender lands on the quarterback with neglect or ill intent. The refs don't have to call it in all cases like Clay Matthews. And I'll say what I did say. I if the rule is that you want the official to determine neglect or intent,
yeah.
Come on. You want to talk about putting officials in an awful spot.
Put his elbows up in the air to show the ref, like, look, dude, I'm putting my elbows up to be as soft as I can.
Believe
and
it,
bam, there goes that yellow flag.
Yeah, believe it or not, when Curley showed me the play,
I was waiting for you to say that was wrong.
No, I said,
I know what you said.
I said, I think that's a penalty in today's NFL. I saw the play the first time. I said, you know, I said it's wrong, but I think that is a penalty. You know, because the one thing is, I thought he tried to roll off him kind of after he got him the one shot. You know what I mean? Like, you know how you do it? You fall on top of him, you give him the little of the business, and then you roll off. But the point is we're laughing about this, and the reason is because it's kind of absurd. I mean, it's just too difficult to interpret. These are all such bang-bang plays.
And they're coming in the fourth. It seemed like they're, you know, the game's in the balance when it's thrown. It's bad, and it's football, and I think you're just taking the essence out of the game when you say, hey, you can't land on top of another grown man who physically is in his prime like you are. You can't land on him. That's almost impossible.
Yeah, it's not easy. Let's go to Danny in Fresno. Hey, Danny.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well, man.
All right, cool. Yeah, just wanted to talk about that specific rule you guys were talking about, driving the QB into the ground. I mean, yeah, it could be seen as a good rule, but my issue is the discrepancy in which when and when it's not called.
Yes.
It's a little irritating. It's a little irritating. Like on that call where the dude claims he was trying to avoid landing on Carr. I mean, he landed on him. And there was no call there. But then 3 plays later, the Dolphins got their drive extended because we got a call on us. And it was a lot less of a hit. And it was, I was just pretty frustrated with that. Also, Carr got landed on the interception to 12 in the end zone too as well. And nobody's talking about that either.
Thanks for the call. The 408 wants to know, Matt, how come the refs didn't call taunting when the defender stood over Jimmy G? You know, we had that discussion live when we were watching the game.
Well, he was outside. He was a runner then. He wasn't a quarterback. I didn't think it was taunting.
Well, after he went down, he kind of stood over him. But, I mean, I remember what I said at the time. What, you can't stand over a guy? All he was doing was standing still. I didn't even think he was, like, looking down at him, like, saying, yeah, what? About, like, yeah. He was just literally standing there like he could have been standing on a street corner after he hit him. So I didn't necessarily think it was going to be an automatic taunting. I guess it could have been close. I didn't see it.
I can't recall a sports play to where I thought I knew what was up and was so far off. And to find out what the injury was, I thought it was a shoulder, Steiny. I thought it was a concussion. Not this.
707 says the consistency is horrible with this roughing the passer. I agree.
It's a joke, man. It's a joke. It's a joke. But hey, if this gets you off Roger Goodell and this is what the rule committee wanted, have at it. But this is hurting your game and your sport.
You still excited about November 1st?
November 1st? What's November 1st?
Raiders Niners, week 9. You psyched?
Yeah.
Do you think it'll have playoff implications?
No, I told you. No, it won't have playoff implications.
I think that's I think that's why they had it in week 9, because both teams are probably going to be heating up at that point.
I told
both
you
times
this.
Both teams will have division championship on their mind, right?
That was NFL blew it. This should have been the second Monday night game, and everybody would have been into it because everybody's record is all pretty. And now what? It may be Beathard against Carr, but the one win between two Bay Area teams is not exactly what I envisioned after 3 games.
But
and the Raiders and Gruden, the genius, keep blowing games.
Hold on. We expected the Niners to be 1-2.
Okay.
Come on, right?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Winning at Minnesota was going to be an uphill battle, and winning at Kansas City.
I got you.
So even though the Garoppolo news stinks,
it hurts.
They're still where they're supposed to be. In other words, I saw a lot of people saying, what are we going to talk about today? How about football's over in the Bay Area? And I'm thinking, it's not over. It's not over. What you want to do is keep trying to play in games that mean something. 49ers got to find a way to get down to L.A. and beat the Chargers.
And with the NFL, with the parity that I'm seeing, Steiny, it's a winnable game. And again, I go back to my point I made earlier. Beathard, they were in position to win games last year, and it was the genius of Shanahan. Now Beathard's had some time to sit back, watch Garoppolo mania happen. Maybe, and he threw a touchdown that got called back. It was BS, but that was a touchdown pass. Who's to say you're right that the Niners are done? Dude, what if they go knock out San Diego? We're Emmitt Smith.
So you did it too. It's hard, isn't it?
Ah, yeah.
I know. It's hard.
Where the dollars
Well, you know what? And this is one of those things, Goo, people will be like, the guy said San Diego Chargers. He didn't know anything about football.
You think the younger guys doing that?
I just forgot the
older guy. You think the younger guy, younger radio host, they know it's L.A.?
Oh, I'm telling you right now, when you said San Diego Chargers, I guarantee you there's 100 kids out there, 25, 30 years older, saying, that guy doesn't even know they play in San. He doesn't even know they moved.
Oh, man.
Man, I could do his job. Should we get to it? We ready for it? Yeah. You know what? Relax, Alex. Relax.
Wow,
I'll get to him in a minute. He wasn't at the station, so he started running.
Busted him out. But it sounded like you were.
No. I was going to do the intro to our thing, but I did want to bring up. So you didn't go to the concert this weekend at AT&T?
I missed it. Who was there?
Journey, Def Leppard, and Foreigner. I figured you were a lock for that one.
Journey.
Let me ask you a serious question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Have you heard of any of those bands?
Journey, one of the best drunk songs ever in a bar.
What? Which song? Don't Stop Believing?
Don't Stop.
Okay. Have you heard of Foreigner?
I heard of Foreigner.
Cold as Ice?
Yeah, but no, I can't give you any titles.
Okay. And what about Def Leppard?
That's really the one.
Is Def Leppard the one with a one-handed drummer?
I wouldn't know.
Doesn't Def Leppard have a drummer with only one hand? Boy, when I do this and people are like, what are you talking about?
Def Leppard.
I'm pretty sure if it's not Def Leppard, it's like Iron Maiden. Who's the drummer with one arm? Come on now. Come on, text line. Come through for me. Who? I have no idea what the guy's name is. I might know the band. Def Leppard? Hey. All genres. Bring it. Hard rock. Heavy metal.
That was what I didn't know. A concert was there. I got to get out more.
You know, it's funny. Out. When you see a concert, we're talking about Journey, Def Leppard, and Foreigner. My buddy got tickets to the concert. You know what the first thing he did was when he got the tickets?
What?
He went online to make sure that neither Journey, Def Leppard, nor Foreigner had put out any new albums lately. Because he's like, nobody wants to see Foreigner, Journey, and Def Leppard for their new songs.
Yeah,
you got to play every single hit.
Yeah.
All right, time for Guru's Gripes.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You're starting to piss me off.
It makes me so mad.
Oh, please don't make me angry, pal. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
King Kong ain't got on me.
It's time for Guru's Gripes.
Mother sucker.
Snotty, this is real, and I'm passionate about what I'm going to say. I don't get on motorcycles because there's no fender benders. And I know in this world there are accidents. I've committed some, okay? No intent. But what these motorcyclists are doing in and out of the lane, they shouldn't be allowed to do
it. It's legal.
But they shouldn't be, because a CHP officer went down today. My point is, you need to stay behind the car if you're behind the car. There's too many times, you know, the width of the lane, and they're in there doing that little beep beep roadrunner stuff like I'm on a motorcycle, I get to do it. But I've seen some things happen, and they need to fix it. So if I had the power, I'm telling all the people on the motorbikes, men and women, you know, you can't go through that crack anymore, as I call it. You got to stay behind the vehicle so everybody can ensure there's no accidents. And there's no fender benders on a motorcycle. So you know what I'm getting at. I seen some stuff this weekend, and it really scared me because I almost hit a motorcycle. The person on it, and I was like, and you know, he gave me the bird. But I was like, it wasn't even my fault, but you're abusing your privilege of trying to sneak through that crack. Help me out. Am I wrong?
Well, it's almost like the rule in football. My understanding, and somebody, and this was as of a few years ago, maybe somebody who's a motorcyclist out there can hit us up on the text line. My understanding is what you're talking about is called
splitting
lane splitting.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Devlin.
And I believe they're allowed to do that. I think that is legal.
It's
not
like, okay.
I don't know. I'm sure there are parameters that they must do it.
Okay.
I don't mind it if you're kind of at a stoplight and a motorcycle will come up in between all the way to the front. It can be disconcerting when a motorcyclist passes you in a hurry. I mean, it can be disconcerting. My biggest problem with motorcycles are how loud they are.
Well, yeah.
I hate how loud they are. I hate it. To me, noise pollution should be ticketed in a big way. Yeah, see, as a motorcyclist, it is legal.
But it's not right.
It says it's only legal at low speeds below 25 miles an hour.
You get on I-80 and see how they're abusing it.
Yeah.
And I just don't want anybody to get hurt. That's all. So I got one more.
Well,
go ahead. We ain't got time.
You know, honestly?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think how do I want to say this? I mean, you got to be aware of motorcycles. And then motorcycles have to be responsible to not do that out, you know, over 25 miles an hour. Let's look. People say it's lane splitting not allowed between 25 and 40. So, okay. We all, you know what? And I don't want to single out motorcyclists. Right. We all need to be more careful. Drivers of regular cars, bicyclists, Hey, safety first.
Okay.
What's your next thing, dude?
Body shaming. So I hosted a Madden tournament at Halftime Sports Bar. It was awesome. Mr. Fab came out. I had the mic, met a lot of listeners, and they were asking about old Steiny. And, I mean, honestly, I was like, oh, he's on his way. You know, I had to go. And one guy was so... I didn't tell you this. I cut my sugar and carbs out. So I've been working on my little physique. I ain't all the, you know, Fat Albert. So they gave me a t-shirt to put on for the event. So I'm feeling good with the bathroom. I'm like, I got the gut showing. I'm feeling good about myself. And here this guy comes out. I need to know his name. He goes, Guru, you told Steiny you were 225. But I don't know if it was body shaving or if he was telling me I look like I have muscle, but I was eating a wing when we were talking. So I was like, here come another fan. What's up? So we talking. He had A's jersey on. He go, you told Steiny you were 225. And I remember I told you 225. He go, it's more like 255. And I dropped the wing with the sauce on, like, did he just sort of, Steiny, I'm still thinking about that guy. So I went to the gym yesterday. Do you think he was telling me it was a strong 255? Or do you think he was disappointed that old Goo might have had some? It's bothering me, Steiny. So maybe it was a compliment that I got more muscle than he thought.
Well,
he went from 225 to 250. I mean, 255, have a heart attack.
Okay. When I look at you, I don't think, man, he's heavy. Like that's,
me neither.
Yeah, so.
And I've been doing the little weight, so I felt like, oh, you know.
Well, I haven't noticed any extra muscle, but I don't think you're heavy.
Well, you said something about the gun show last week.
I know.
But anyway, go ahead. Well, so to the guy out there at halftime.
I think it was a compliment. I think he's like, yeah, you put together pretty well.
Yeah, but it could have been another one, well, too. Like, because he added 30.
What did he look like?
It was about like me. You know, tall. Like, if we had a boxing match, it would have went 15.
I don't think he was body shaming.
I think he was, but I dropped that wing fast. I just got out of there. I was like, I'm going home. Went to the gym yesterday morning. Anyway, that felt
better.
What
do you do at the gym?
Bench press, run the treadmill, and then run the stairs. And shoot some hoop.
Where are the stairs?
You know, right next to the elliptical and, you know, the stairs. Oh, just
not the real stairs.
Oh,
the,
no, but the, I'm done the machine. With that. Yeah, I'm done with that.
Machine.
I feel good, Steiny.
You've been weighing yourself?
Well, yeah, that's why I thought he was giving me the compliment.
So have you lost weight?
Well, it ain't lost, but I'm trying to get muscle.
I got you. Yeah. So you don't want to lose weight, but you
want to turn. Yeah. I want to, you know, I want you to be like, man, I don't want to mess with that dude.
I don't want to mess with you anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't mess with you.
I think the dude was, he was saying I was a tad bit heavier than,
so it was a good time over there?
Yeah, it was a great
time. The ultimate
shout out to Bam. He won the tournament.
Who?
Bam. This dude's an e-gamer. He beat Josh Johnson.
Do you have a real name?
But no, Bam is what I know.
No, I mean, it's like,
yeah, Bam, Bam. And he counted the money.
It's like Jimmy Green or something.
Yeah,
Bam,
I don't know his real name, his government name. Yeah. I invited you.
Yeah, nice crowd.
He was nice. Yeah, a lot of eye candy.
I thought about, we had a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I got you. But long as you know, your boy Boo was looking out for you.
I appreciated the invite. We got 11:53, so we got about a minute left. Warriors starting training camp today.
He just texted in.
Who?
The guy at the halftime. He said, no, Guru, you're in good shape. No body shaming. A strong 225. So you were right.
I thought so. Like, you're not. I don't,
wow. You know, about to work out when we done.
What, you got a minute, right?
You
got a minute.
I'm messing you up.
Bob Myers, Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Sean Livingston, Jacob Evans, and Kevin Durant, all guests from the Warriors facility today. Training camp gets started. One person who won't be interviewed, Patrick McCaw. He's not at training camp. You think anybody will notice?
That's wrong.
I'm telling you. Come on, Patrick McCaw.
They love
you. You know what? Patrick McCaw's probably, I got two rings. I'm out. Patrick McCaw.
That's interesting.
He's their 14th roster spot.
Bob Myers said he's calling their people just preliminary right now.
And saying, get your butt into camp.
Well, you got to give them the Benjamins.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it. Papa and Bonte are next, again, from the Warriors training facility. Hard to believe. Warriors games right around the corner.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.